Welcome to the Troy Thompson Leadership Podcast. This is your host, Troy Thompson. I'm so glad you tuned in today. Listen, it is my greatest passion to empower leaders to create a more hopeful culture and to lead with passion and relevancy for their generation. I trust that today's podcast will encourage you, will equip you, and will empower you as you go out and create a vibrant culture that perpetuates hope and growth wherever you are. Let's tune in.
Joshua 2:21. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that when it enters, it brings light. Thank you that the preaching and teaching of your word today would not be with the intelligence of man, but God, rather, would be a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power in our lives. Activate this word today in Jesus' name. Joshua, we know this story as when God sent spies into Jericho, to spy on the promised land. These two spies happened to stumble into the house of a harlot named Rahab, who eventually, by faith, works her way into the lineage of Christ, a prostitute. That's got to upset some religious people real bad. That a defector named Rahab. But first of all, I want you to know that God sent these spies into Jericho. And they found this harlot named Rahab. And what God's doing today and what God has been doing is spying on you. God's spying on you. And he wants you to know that there's no limitation or boundaries that he won't invade to get to you. Doesn't matter if you don't want him. God will invade. He will invade Jericho and find you. Jericho of its day would have been similar to New York City. So it was a metropolis of its day. It was a stronghold. Its walls were enormous. It was impenetrable. It would have been considered impossible to invade. Impossible. Similar, isn't it just like God, though, to send a bunch of radical spies into New York City, into Wycliffe, spy out the land, and set up shop in some unsuspecting places? This is what God did. He invaded Jericho by means of a harlot who lived on a wall, and he then tore the city down from the inside out. And most times when we tell this story, we tell it from, we're going to march around the walls of Jericho and they're going to come tumbling down and God wants to destroy Jericho. But it wasn't what God was concerned about. What God was concerned about was rescuing the house of Rahab. And what God's concerned about today is rescuing your house and my house. And he loves us so much that there's no boundary that he'll allow you to put up in your life that says you can't enter here. There's no wall tall enough, wide enough that you can put out in front of him that will stop him from invading your life. If there's no means by which he won't find a way to get into your life. He will find a way. He's dogged and he's relentless. Even if you keep resisting him, even if you sell yourself cheaply, he won't stop. Even if you commit the most vile of sin, he won't stop. He won't make him see you worth less than what he knows you're worth. She was a harlot, which meant she sold herself for intimacy. She sold intimacy for money. And if the truth be told, there are a lot of Rahabs in here right now. There are a lot of us working for way less than we're worth. There's a lot of us selling ourselves out to things we know we shouldn't. With a congregation this size, there's a good majority of us who are living lies cheapening the very value of the thing Christ paid for, but it does not stop God. He will not stop. He said, I don't care that your name is Rahab and that you're a harlot. It doesn't matter to me. I know your worth. I see your value, and I'm going to make you one day. You're going to wake up to the value that I place inside of you. One day you're going to notice it just like I notice it. And one day I'm going to knock down the walls of Jericho and I'm going to pull you out of Jericho. I'm going to pull you, and God's declaring it today. He's going to pull you out of any Jericho you're in. He will not stop until he gets you out. This promise is so strong that there's nothing you can do about it. And as a matter of fact, that those that are attached to you come out with you. Our children come out with us. Our husbands, there are wives in here praying for us. Husbands, come out with you. He won't stop. He won't stop. This thing is making noise.
I don't know what's going on in here. Thing's crazy. This is going to have to make noise, I guess. And so when he invades Jericho, he finds Rahab, and he says, Rahab, here we go. Here's the thing. I'm going to work something out in your life. But what I need from you is for you to take this red cord. Joshua 2:21. I need you to take this red cord, and I need you to bind it in the window. I need you to take this scarlet cord, Rahab, and I need you to bind it in the window. I need it bound in your window. Now, if you don't do this, Rahab, the covenant that I've made with you will not stand. Rahab, I need you to take a scarlet cord. I don't want it the color pastel. I don't want it pink. I don't want it Easter bunny colors. I don't want it purple. I want it scarlet. You don't understand, Rahab, why yet, but you will. Because there is a scarlet cord that I've weaved through your life to this moment that runs through your life and your generations that's going to pull you out of Jericho. So I need the cord to be scarlet. You don't understand it, Rahab. Maybe you can't see it, but you remember when I brought my children out of Egypt. And I told them, go in the house. Before you do, take some blood, put it on the doorposts of the house. And when I see the blood that's on the doorpost, I'm going to pass over. The blood shall be a sign for me of where you are. But lest I see the blood on the window, if I don't see the blood, we've got no agreement. My covenant with you, this is what they said to Rahab. My covenant with you is null and void, lest I see the blood. Let this be a prophetic warning that God's declared your life and my life in Christ. There should be a contrast. I gotta see it, God said. If I don't see the blood in the window, you can't complain. You can't blame me. You can't get mad at me. You can't cuss me out. You can't hold me accountable for it. Don't ask me for healing. Don't ask me for rescue. Don't ask me for deliverance. But let me tell you something, Rahab. If when we come back, if we see the blood on the window, on the doorpost, guess what, Rahab? I am bound to my covenant. I've got to rescue you. I've got to answer you. I've got to pull you out of Jericho. I've got to fulfill the covenant I promised to you. But I got to see the blood. I got to see the blood. There are going to be some things that happen in this life that are going to try to cover up the blood. There are going to be some circumstances that rise in your life that are going to throw dirt on the doorpost. There's going to be storms that are going to whirl up in your life, and they're going to create dust storms, and there's going to be mud, and there's going to be rain, and there's going to be hell and havoc that's going to come your way, and it's going to try to cover up the stain of blood on the doorpost. You're going to have to make sure you go outside every once in a while, Rahab. Make sure that the blood is still on the window. Make sure that there's still some blood, because I got to see it. You hear him? God said, I got to see it. It ain't enough that it's inside. I got to see it on the outside. It ain't enough that you said it in a whisper just so you and me could hear it. I got to see it on the outside. Your mouth better match what your life is talking about. I got to see it. God said, I got to see it. If I don't see it, don't you complain to me. Don't you get mad at me. Don't you blame me for your stuff. I got to see it. That means Rahab. You got to make sure. Make sure. I can see Rahab. Wouldn't you? I mean, every day, like I'd go out. I'd tie that bad boy on there. Super glue it. I would make sure. I would make sure that scarlet cord waved in the wind. And if there was dirt on it, I'd go out there with a wash pan, wash it off real good, put it back in the window, look around. I got to see it. Well, life happens. And sometimes the scarlet cord gets dirty. The enemy will do all he can to snatch your scarlet cord. He'll do all he can to convince you that God's not worried about, that God doesn't care about you, that God's not really coming. He'll let time go by, and your cord will get ratted and tattered. It'll be frayed on the ends from blowing in the wind. It's going to get dirty. You're going to have to wash it off again every once in a while. But the enemy's so slick, he'll let so much time go by that he'll try to convince you that what God said to you wasn't true. That what God promised you a long time ago really isn't true. Look, it's been so long, Rahab. They're tarrying. They're really not coming for you. God, that was a lie. That was the deception of man. God doesn't really care about you. But I can only see Rahab. Every day she go out there, she said, no, I know God said it, and if God said it, he's going to do it. So I don't care about, I just make sure that the scarlet cord stays in the window, because I need God to see it. God needs to see it. See, he said, it has to be scarlet, and I need you to bind it. I need you to bind it in the window. Bind it means to tether it, to tie a knot that can't come undone. You ever do that when you were a kid? And then your mom tells you, go get your shoes on. And then you can't get your shoes on because you tied a knot. And now she's yelling at you, and you got to be to church, and you're late because you tied a knot yesterday. That was just me then. Okay. But he said, I need you to bind it in the window. You got to bind it. It has to be bound. There has to be a knot tied in a manner that it won't come undone. And for many of us, we put it in the window, but we don't bind it to the window. We come to church, but we don't bind it. Maybe we bind it for a season, Pastor. Maybe when crisis comes, we bind. I bind you, devil, and I loose the works of heaven. I bind you.
I need you to bind it. If you don't bind it, I'm not responsible for the covenant. I promised you. So bind it. You know there's a knot that you can tie that's so strong that when one force pulls from that end and another force pulls from this end, the knot just gets stronger and stronger. The knot just gets stronger and stronger. I clearly don't know how to tie the knot. I had one of the cook boys. Somebody know how to tie this knot? I had one of the cook boys. So I said, tie me that knot again. But he said, Troy, there's a way you could tie this knot. I don't know how to tie it. But he said, when you pull and they pull, there it is. I just did it. When you pull and they pull, it won't come undone. Actually, when you pull and they pull, it makes the knot tighter. And that knot is so strong. Let me tell you how strong the covenant promise of God is over your life. It's so strong. It's so strong that they hung Jesus on a cross on Friday. He died on the cross on Friday, but the Father had a promise for Sunday. He went to the tomb. They rolled a rock in front of it. He laid in that tomb for 3 days. And on Sunday, we just had Sunday. On Sunday, God said, I made a promise with my son. And that promise stands. And that binding promise with his son was so powerful, so strong, that it yanked Jesus right out of the grave. Pulled him right out of the grave and into life. And if it was that powerful that it pulled Jesus out of 3 days dead into a resurrected life, I want you to know today that it's that powerful that it can pull you from anything that a doctor said about you. It can pull your children out of any circumstance they're in. It's so powerful that it pulls this young boy named Cameron out of cancer, leukemia, stage whatever, pulls him right out of that and right into the promised land. It's funny how Jericho became the promised land. God said, I have a promise for you. God said, I have a promise for you. And it's Jericho. It's Jericho. But you got to go into Jericho and you've got to dispossess Jericho and make it your promise. You got to invade health, make it your promise. You've got to invade the culture, make it your promise. Tie a knot in that thing and make it your promise. Make Jericho your promise. Said, okay, listen. Once you bind it, then I want you to do something. This thing is bothering me. Give me a second. Hello? I don't need it. It's bothering me. The noise is bothering me. Make it stop. So listen, I need you to take this cord. It has to be a cord. Now, take this cord. And I need you to put it in the window, because the cord is the thing I'm going to rescue you with. At one time, went zip lining. And I didn't tell the truth when I went zip lining, because they ask you how much you weigh. Because the cord upon which your life hangs has a limit, Pastor. It had a limit. I was 6. I'm not going to tell you how much, but I was 6 pounds over the limit of that cord. Now listen, I, I'm, I'm, I'm,
I'm a faith-filled man. So I walked out to the, you know, I walked out there and I looked at the cord was stretched from, okay, so you start on the ground and then you swing out into a tree. Now, John, the first tree is only about 15 or 20 feet off the ground. They trick you. So I thought to myself, I'm only 6 pounds over. If it breaks, I'm good. I can withstand 15 or 20 feet. I've fallen that. I've jumped that before. You know, I'm thinking, I won't die. Okay, that's how I'm thinking. I'm not going to die if I fall. Some of y'all looking at me like, you might have. So when I walked out and I looked at the cord that went to the 15 to 20 foot platform on the tree, I said to myself, I said, you need to ask some questions. First question needs to be, what is the weight limit of the cord? And then the second question needs to be, what is the real weight limit of the cord? And so I whispered to the young girl who was getting paid minimum wage to put me in a tree and attach me to this cord and swing me out in the minimum wage. What is wrong with me? Probably was out the night before, really having a good time, you know, lived down there. And, you know, I'm just saying, you know, just 20-some years old, you know, probably, you know, living that life. And I said, listen, Susan, what's the weight? She said what it was. And then I said, now, I'm this many pounds over. And she said, listen, it's okay. It's really this much. I'm not going to tell you. It's really this much. I said, whew, okay. So then I get on this cord. If you've ever done it, how many have done this? If you've done this, it's fun, huh? Okay, so you get on this thing and you swing out to the first one and you land and then you're on this cord and then you look. Then when I got out to that one, I looked over, you know, to the next one. And when I looked over to the next one, it was 70 feet off the ground. Immediately, a third question came to mind was, how do I get down? I don't want to do this. Literally, I said, I changed my mind, Susan. I don't want to do this. You lied to me. I've been deceived. This is not what that you said. It was this high. Look at how high we are now. She said, Troy, there's only one way out. That's forward. And that's prophetic for a lot of people in here. A lot of people, you say, I changed my mind. I don't want this thing that you promised me, God. It's too expensive. I'm afraid of it. This thing's got me scared. You asked me to do this thing, and now I'm afraid, God, let me down. Is there any way out? Jesus cried out, is there any other way? God said, I got you, son. I got you. It's going to be okay. Jesus said, okay, then let's go. And I just hear God declare, there's no way out but forward. There's no way out of faith but forward. You have to keep going. And every time I'd go again, I swung out to that first one that was 70 feet up. And then I was, you know, everyone else was playing around on the platform. I was hugging the tree, man. I'm like, no, we don't need to, you know. But every time I did it, I grew more and more confident. I had more and more fun. I enjoyed the next one a little more than I enjoyed the previous one. A little less fear, a little more excitement. And God's declaring, just keep going. Just keep going. I'm going to drive that thing out of you pretty soon. You'll be walking, you'll be laying hands on the sick and they're going to recover pretty soon. You're going to be writing songs and they're going to skyrocket pretty soon. I'm going to take your life and you won't be afraid of it. But here's the thing. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says a three-strand cord cannot be broken. There's only one thing strong enough. There's only one cord in this life that's strong enough to hold you. And that is the Father's love, the Holy Spirit's truth. The Holy Spirit's truth. You need the Father's love, the Holy Spirit's truth, and the blood of the Son. You weave those things together in your life.
because the enemy's going to come and he's going to lie. And then the Holy Spirit will reveal truth. And one day you're going to stop believing in yourself, and you're going to forget whose image you're made in. And the Father's love will remind you, you're made in my image, son. I love you, and I made you in my image. And then you're going to need to know that the shame of yesterday is washed away by the blood of the Son. There's no force, there's nothing on this earth that God has not got the strength to pull you out of if you just take this cord. This cord is the only thing strong enough to withstand. If you're going to tether yourself to anything in this life, make sure it's the three-strand cord of the Father's love, the Holy Spirit's truth, and the blood of the Son. Father, Spirit, Son, take your life, attach it to it, and watch what God will do. Take this cord, bind it in the window. If you'll do that, I'll be bound by my oath. Put it in the window, Rahab. Put it in the window. I need a means by which to enter your life, Rahab. If you want a rescue, I need a way in. Rahab, if you want rescued, if you're ever in a situation, Rahab, where you need rescue, I need to know where the window is. I need you to take this, Rahab, and I need you to put it in the window. Because the window is how I'll get in, and the window is how you'll get out. Take the blood, apply it to the doorpost. Put it on your heart. Romans 10:10 says, with the mouth you say something, but with the heart you believe it. And what you believe in your heart, you'll say with your mouth. God told Rahab, you got to put it on the window. And God's telling us, you got to put it on the window. You know, it's funny. We don't tell one another, I love you with all of my mind. I love you with all of my information. With all of my intellect, I love you both. Isn't that awesome? That's pretty good. Now, I may get some more information tomorrow. I might change all that. But the information I got right now, my mind loves you. I love you with all of my mind, all of my thoughts. It's not what we say. You tell your children, Tristan, Daddy loves you. I love you with all my heart. With all my heart. And because I love you with all my heart, Tristan, my mind thinks well of you. God declares to you, he loves you with all of his heart. And his mind, or his thoughts, they are good of you. And they told Rahab, put it in the window. Put the blood on your heart. Give him the means by which rescue. And if you'll do that, he'll pull you out of Jericho. So she tied it around the window. She tied it around the window. God took the other side. Thousands of years before Jesus would ever show up, God took the other side, tied it to the cross. And if you'll make a decision today to give him a means by which to rescue you, God will take it. He'll take the side that you give him. See, you're responsible. I'm responsible for tying it to my heart. I got to do that. If I don't do that, God's got nothing to pull on. God's got nothing. There's nothing. If it be not bound to my window, God's not responsible for his end. But if I bind it in my window, it's so strong. God said, I tied it to the cross. And everything that my son paid for is promised to you. Healing belongs to you. Peace that surpasses all understanding, it's yours. Children, they're yours. Heritage of the Lord, it's yours. Relationships, if you give them to me, if you'll give me a means by which to rescue you, you just give me your heart, Rahab, just give me your heart. If you give me your heart, I'll bring you out. I'll bring your family with you. I'll change your identity, Rahab. Oh, they know you this way, but God, they'll think of you another way if you'll just tie your heart. Tie it to your heart. Put the blood on your heart. I'll take a harlot and make them my family. I'll take your life. I'll change it. You just give me your heart. Come on with me. Can you stand on your feet? Sing a song with me. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Surrender to him your heart in this moment. Give him a means by which to rescue you. Not yet, guys. Not yet. Give him a means by which to rescue you. I'm going to take my time. Give him a means by which to rescue you. God said, just give me your heart. If you'll give me your heart, I'll pull you out of Jericho. If you'll give me your heart, I'll make a promise so strong. It'll pull you out of death's door. It'll pull your children out of death's door. If you'll just give me a means by which to enter your life, I'll pull you right out of that. I'll pull you out of every hopeless situation and circumstance. I'll pull you out of everything. I'll pull you out of every hopeless situation and circumstance. I'll yank you out of Jericho. Father, thank you. We give you our hearts in this moment. We declare, God, you are good. You are so good to us, God. We bless you, Lord. We love you. We thank you, God. Thank you, God, for rescuing marriages now. Thank you, God, for rescuing children now. Thank you, God, for rescuing me. Thank you, God, for seeing the blood that I apply to my life right now. Thank you for taking notice of the blood. I give it to you. Now take me, knock down every wall, every fortified wall that's been constructed in my life in an attempt to keep me out of the promises. Knock them down by the power of your word. Knock them down, God. Bring destruction to the enemy's captivity in my life. Bring destruction to it. I wrap myself around the promises of God. I bind the scarlet cord to my heart. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Come on, sing that song. Come on, lift your voice and worship the King.
Place and fill the atmosphere. Sing that again, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come fill this place. glory. God is what our hearts long to be overcome by your presence, Lord and Holy Spirit. You are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Oh, we need it today. Your presence.
Confess Jesus as the Lord of our heart. Take our hearts, God. Use them. Come in and out. Come in and out, God. Thank you for rescue. Thank you for bringing us out. Give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. Lord, we thank you. Yeah. If you just be seated for a moment, I want to just share something with you as we conclude today. I'm going to ask Pastor Mike to come up in a minute, and he'll close us with some corporate prayer. But today, for many of you know, today we celebrated Pastor Caton's birthday in Lorraine, and many were asking me, Troy, how do we can't be there, but is there a way we can participate? And so we wanted to give those who would like the opportunity to sow financially into Pastor Caton's birthday. It's his birthday celebration today. And so on the way out, we're going to, we'll receive an offering. Can we do that right now? We're just going to receive an offering for Pastor Caton's birthday. If you would like to give to Pastor Caton, if you would like to participate in that, you can take your envelopes and you can give to, but you need to make them payable to Lewis Caton, not Church on the North Coast. So everything we give to him. So that's up to you if you'd like to give to that. But if not, that's okay. Don't feel pressured to do that. Just giving you the opportunity. So they're going to come now and do that. But as we conclude in prayer today, I want to remind you to let them know. Let them know. Church on the North Coast, can you be so bold this week to let somebody know about the hope? You could just go ahead and receive that. Let somebody know about the love of Christ. How many received one of these cords in the last few weeks? If you got one, how many did not get one? Do we have any extras left over? Do we have any left over back there? Do we have any of these cords left over? No. Well, I'll try to get some more to you. But this week, can I ask you to do something for me to let somebody know about the hope and the love of Christ? Just let somebody know. I'm not asking you to like do something crazy like lead a revival of thousands. I'm just asking you to tell one person about the hope and the love of Jesus. It's real simple. There's so many ways you can do it, but just letting them know, maybe inviting them to join us at one of our events, or maybe simply just going over to your neighbor's house and baking them some cookies, or just taking up their trash cans at the end of trash week, or I don't know, but just be creative and let somebody know. It's almost the most antichrist thing we can do to not let somebody know about the hope that's found in Jesus Christ. Don't you feel liberated this morning? Don't you feel the joy of the Lord this morning? And don't you want everyone else to know? I'm just asking you, tell one person this week. Don't even ask them to come to church with you. Just let them know. Manifest the love of the Father to them and watch what God will do. Let's change this region by the hope of Christ and the love of Christ. Amen. Welcome Pastor Mike McCandless as he comes. He's going to close us in prayer today and ask for those that are here if they'd like any more specific prayers. Give him a hand as he comes. God bless you. It was great being with you today.
Wow, what a word. Pastor Troy, thank you so much. You know, God, He definitely thinks, and His timing is His timing. He can take the blood of Jesus 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 5,000 years before it's ever shed and tie it to the cross for generations to come. And it's so indescribable, isn't it? When you think about the love that He had for us, that no matter what we do, all our shortcomings and mistakes that we make, I mean, I'm a walking mistake. I make mistakes all the time. I'm like, oh, why did I do that? But He says, you know, I don't care. I still love you. I didn't see that. It doesn't matter to me. I still love you. And I just wanted to bring up, before we leave today, before you go that way, if there's anything that you need prayer for, come this way. So if our altar ministers would come up, Pastor Lowell, Patty, Sue, Adam, Jenna, if you come up, we just want to make ourselves available for you. Please, guys. If you have any concerns, any prayer requests, anything that you want us to stand in the gap with you about, please come forward. Let us try to show you the love of Christ and come in agreement with you on the things that we want to bind, because what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. So we thank you for coming and enjoying Sunday with you. God bless you. Go and change somebody's life. Show them the love of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Troy Thompson. I'm so glad you took the time to listen into the podcast today. If you like what you heard, you can go to the website cnclove.org for more. You are a culture creator. Go out today and create culture. Make the world a better place, a more hopeful place. It was a pleasure being with you.